Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastamavidavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 17, The Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in His Youth, page 91. 117-89. Once, while Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing kirtana, clouds assembled in the sky, and the Lord, by His own will, immediately stopped them from pouring rain.
You mean Lord Chaitanya
here sometimes? Hmm? Yes. Srila Prabhupada. In this connection, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that once when Lord Chaitanya was performing Sankirtana, a short way from the village, some clouds appeared overhead. By the supreme will of the Lord, the clouds were asked to disperse, and they did. Because of this incident, that place is known as Megharachara. Since the course of the Ganges has now changed, the village of the name Belpakuriya, which was formerly situated in a different place called Taranavasa, has now become known as Megharachara. The Madhyakanda of Srila Lochan Das Thakur's Chaitanya Bhagavat also relates that once at the end of the day, when evening clouds assembled overhead and thundered threateningly, all the Vaishnavas were very much afraid. The Lord took His kartals in His hand and personally began chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, looking up towards the sky as if to direct the demigods in the higher planets. Thus all the assembled clouds dispersed, and as the sky became clear, with the moon rising, the Lord began dancing very happily with His jubilant and satisfied devotees. Yes, yeah, so this is, it seems to be there's two pastimes of this. So then one is appears to be up more towards what, Belpakur now? And the other one was, you know, when you're going on, when you're going in Krishnagar, and you come to that junction where you can go into Krishnagar, or you keep going on the main highway, and then a very short place after that, then many times the drivers turn left and go through the villages. No. Before Kalyani. That's just after Krishnagar. It's just a couple of minutes past that when you kind of hit the end of Krishnagar. So when you turn left there, then going up there, there's the first railway line, and then when you go and there's no villages and you're kind of out in the middle of nowhere and the road kind of turns, that's the place where the Kartal one happened. Remember, Jai Patakamash, we were driving once and he pointed, oh, this is where this happened. He knows all the spots, you know, where everything is. 117-90-91. One day, the Lord ordered Shivas Thakur to read the Brihad Sahasranama, the 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu, for he wanted to hear them at that time. As he read the 1,000 names of the Lord, in due course, the holy name of Lord Nrisimha appeared. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the holy name of Lord Nrisimha, he became fully absorbed in thought. Srila Prabhupada. The Chaitanya Mangala, Madhyakanda, describes this incident as follows. Srivas Pandit was performing the Shraddha ceremony for his father, and as is the custom, he was hearing the 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu. At that time, Gaurahari, Lord Chaitanya, appeared on the scene, and he also began to hear the 1,000 names of Vishnu with full satisfaction. When he thus heard the holy name of Lord Nrisimha, Lord Chaitanya became absorbed in thought, and he became angry like Nrisimha Prabhu in his angry mood. His eyes became red, his bodily hair stood on end, all the parts of his body trembled, and he made a thundering sound. All of a sudden, he took up a club, and people became greatly afraid, thinking, We do not know what kind of offense we have now committed. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu adjusted his thoughts, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu adjusted his thoughts and sat down on his seat. Right, he's sitting there listening, then he stands up, roars, picks up a club, then everyone, you know, becomes afraid, and then he sits down. And everything's good. Right? 1792-98. In the mood of Lord Nrisingadev, Lord Chaitanya ran through the city streets, club in hand, ready to kill all the atheists. Seeing him appearing very fierce in the ecstasy of Lord Nrisingha, people ran from the street and fled here and there, afraid of his anger. Seeing the people so afraid, the Lord came to his external senses and thus returned to the house of Srivas Thakur and threw away the club. The Lord became morose and said to Srivas Thakur, "When I adopted the mood of Lord Nrisingadev, people were greatly afraid. Therefore, I stopped, since causing fear among people is an offense." Srivas Thakur replied, "Anyone who takes your holy name vanquishes 10 million of his offenses immediately. There was no offense in your appearing as Nrisingadev. Rather, any man who saw you in that mood was immediately liberated from the bondage of material existence." After saying this, Srivas Thakur worshipped the Lord, who was then greatly satisfied and returned to his own home. 1799-100. On another day, a great devotee of Lord Shiva, chanting of Lord Shiva's qualities, came to Lord Chaitanya's house, where he began dancing in the courtyard and playing his damaru, a musical instrument. When Lord Chaitanya adopted the mood, then Lord Chaitanya, adopting the mood of Lord Shiva, got on the man's shoulders, and thus they danced together for a long time. Srila Prabhupada. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu adopted the mood of Lord Shiva, for he is Shiva also. According to the philosophy of Achinta Beta Beta Tattva, Lord Shiva is non-different from Lord Vishnu. But still, Lord Shiva is not Lord Vishnu, just as yogurt is nothing but milk, and yet is not milk, nevertheless. One cannot get the benefit of milk by drinking yogurt. Similarly, one cannot get salvation by worshipping Lord Shiva. When one wants salvation, one must worship Lord Vishnu. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9.4. Matstani sarvabhutani na chaham teshvavastitaha. Everything is resting on the Lord, for everything is his energy. Yet he is not everywhere. Lord Chaitanya's adopting the mood of Lord Shiva is not extraordinary, but one should not therefore think that by worshipping Lord Shiva, one is worshipping Lord Chaitanya. That would be a mistake, right? Because yogurt's not milk. So the Lord expanding through his expansions and all that, then he pervades everything. He is everything. At the same time, he himself is different. So even though everything is non-different, the non-difference is so that you are able to see in the connection of it with himself, with the Lord. Not that it replaces the Lord. Right? Yeah. 117, 101-103. On another day, a mendicant came to beg alms from the Lord's house. When he saw the Lord dancing, he also began to dance. He danced with the Lord because he was favored by love of Krishna. Thus he flowed in the mellows of love of Godhead. On another day, an astrologer came who was said to know everything, past, present, future. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received him with all honor and put his question before him. Right, because depending on how much they know and everything, and that their position and how much they're, you know, respected, that much, then you're supposed to respect these Brahmins. Right? Okay. 101-103. Brahmins, Srila Prabhupada, Brahmins generally used to become just astrologers, Ayurvedic physicians, teachers, and priests. Right? So these would be your standard occupations. Although highly learned and respectable, such Brahmins went from door to door to distribute their knowledge. A Brahmin would first go to a householder's home to give information about the functions to be performed on a particular titi or date. But if there were sickness in the family, the family members would consult the Brahmin as a physician, and the Brahmin would give instructions and some medicine. Often, since the Brahmins were expert in astrology, people would also be greatly inquisitive about their past, present, and future. Right, so they would be going about the one aspect, and then all these other things would be there. So it says the functions. What is it? The functions to be formed on a particular titi or date. That's the actual purpose of the whole astrological point. Because the astronomy is the main thing. That's the hard science. Where the planets are. Therefore, what festivals and what occasions are there to be performed, right? But a branch of astronomy is astrology, right? Never say this to an astrologer. Just say, they just don't appreciate this, you know. Because if you don't know where the planets are, it's that. So they take it that the hard science is the support for, is the preliminaries for their science. Because the one is if you're inquisitive about past, present, future, that is then the, what do you call it? Interpretive sciences. Mm-hmm. So you have to be able to see and all that. The other thing, the planets here, that's just the way it is. So the math is there so you can do the astronomy. And based on that, then you have what's called panchang. Right? So by the panchang, then you can understand, you know, whatever festival and whatever thing is supposed to be done, any samskar, any marriage, everything. You don't need astrology, right? Because then there, it's that this titi is good, or this half of the day, or this part is good, and like that. So it's actually very solid to find this. So in South India, they just use the panchang. North, they prefer the astrology. But then and there, you get out your tweezers and get down to, you know, this nanosecond here, then you can do this. So it's a little bit harder to find dates, right? When you can't find dates in astrology, they're easily found in astronomy. This is very straightforward. So we see Hari Bhakti Vilas mentions that it's a standard way of if you're dealing with rituals. So you see that knowledge is the first thing given. Then if someone's sick, then they deal with the Ayurvedic things like that. Then, you know, people are very inquisitive about what's going to happen, what happened in the past, all this and that. So then the astrological things come up. Does that make sense? Yes.
Panchanga is a branch of astronomy, something like that?
No, panchanga is how you use astronomy. Otherwise, if you say, okay, that planet's there and the moon's there, yeah, so... Does that make sense?
So many calendars based on this panchanga, and it gives everything.
Yes, panchanga is your standard Vedic system. But in recent times, I think especially since Virahamira, then the astrology has become quite prominent. And they take it, and they just call a panchanga is just muhurta. Mm-hmm. How you see muhurtas? Mm-hmm. You understand? They just reduce it down to that. So they make it that the astrology is the main thing. And astronomy is the minor thing. When actually astronomy is the major thing. And astrology is something you can use. But if someone in their life never really used astronomy, it would still work for them. But the astronomy you need because that sets the titis and when the festivals are and everything. So astrology, if you never used it, you'd be fine. Right? But it's switched now where astrology is the main thing. And so in that, it's also much harder to find dates and different things like that because, you know, it's just like you've seen devotees when they say they get into health, right? There is nothing healthy. There is no situation that's healthy. Everything you look at is going to kill you. So the same way with the astrologers. A few people are really good at it and they're, you know, practical. They can make it work. But for most, it's not very, doesn't work so good. So the astronomy is actually the main thing, the panchang. Because that's what is the titi, you know, what is the bara, what's the day, you know, and then you have the, you'll have the paksha, you know, whether it's the going towards full moon or waning moon, right? Then you're going to have the yoga, I think, which is which half of the day, what's going on, and this half is good for this, that half, depending upon the day, depending on the titi. So in other words, all these are mixed together. And so then you can find. But you're only dealing with five things. So it's much easier. Because it's just very straightforward. It's just hard science. There's no interpretation. So that makes sense. Although the Brahmin appeared at Lord Chaitanya's house as a beggar, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received him with great respect because he was a qualified Brahmin who knew the astrological science perfectly. Although Brahmins would go door to door just like beggars, they were honored as very respectable guests. This was the system in Hindu society 500 years ago, during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This system was current even 100 years ago, even 50 or 60 years ago when we were children. Such Brahmins would visit householders like humble beggars. The people would derive great benefit from the mercy of such Brahmins. The greatest benefit was that a householder could save a great deal of money from being spent on doctor bills because the Brahmins, aside from explaining the past, present, and future, could ordinarily cure all kinds of diseases simply by giving instructions and some medicine. Thus, no one was bereft of the benefit of a first-class physician, astrologer, and priest. Right? So, because the whole thing is why is one sick? It's generally some problem in the lifestyle. And so they can point out how to live, how to do, and everything like that. So you'd see, you know, even nowadays not as much, because they like to somehow or another imitate the allopath doctors. They come in, ask this and that. But before, they would check the symptoms, and then they know what that comes from, and then they would tell you what lifestyle to live to get rid of it. What to eat, what to this, that. And so they tried to educate you on how to live in a way that was healthy. Right? By the allopath method is that they're the trained people. Everybody else is an idiot. And so, you know, why would they ever waste their time trying to explain to you what to do? Right? Just take their medicine and that's it. And if it doesn't work, then I'm sorry, you're a strange case. Right? But the Ayurvedic doctors took it that they're, you know, what the causes are, this, that, and then they would explain that to you. So basically, if you followed it nicely, you wouldn't get sick, not at least from that one. You know, so you could improve your lifestyle in that. So it wasn't about keeping you as a patient. It was about you living a proper lifestyle. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why he's saying. Thus known as bereft of the benefit of a first-class physician, astrologer, and priest. The important members of ISKCON should give careful attention to our Dallas school, where children are being taught Sanskrit and English to become perfect Brahmins. If they are actually trained as perfect Brahmins, they can save society from rogues and ruffians. Indeed, people can live happily under the protection of qualified Brahmins. Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita 4.13 gives special stress to the divisions of society. Chaturvarnyam maya shrishtam guna karma vibhagasaha. Unfortunately, some people are now claiming to be Brahmins simply by birthright with no qualifications. Therefore, the entire society is in chaos. Right? So there's chaos because there's not properly trained Brahmins. So then the educational system is for training Brahmins. Right? And in that, then everybody becomes trained nicely. The society works clearly. Right? Does that make sense? So Prabhupada's already given here what is the background of how you establish the society, how you establish culture or community. So it's not by management. That's just another distraction. Just as people being born, Brahmin families claim to be Brahmins, even though they're not, by claiming that management will cure everything, is the panacea, it's also just another deviation. So all it's done is slipped from the Brahmins, you know, trying to claim that they're, even though they're not qualified, it's going to make everything happen. It drops down into managers and other things like that. Yes.
So always when society is degrading, it always starts with the Brahmana?
It always starts there.
And then it ends with the people overthrowing the government?
like that. It just ends up, you have a bunch of shudras at the end. You know, so. But the difficulty always comes is that if the Brahmins are properly trained, then society goes because there's proper direction. Right? Because why? Because that they're the ones protecting the scriptures. So by following the scriptures, that works. Does that make sense? So then everything works properly. So if one has that understanding and that faith, then one puts the effort into that. Because the effort, how much is, you know, should be put into education? Like you see is that much of the time, one of the few things that is, you know, done very well is that you see much of the time in first world countries, a majority of their budget goes into education. Generally, defense is first and then education is second. like that. Some places, education is first, because, you know, they don't really have to worry about defense, like someplace like Singapore or something. So then they get very good results, everything develops. But if you don't develop the education, you don't develop the Brahminical class, then, you know, it doesn't matter it just gets harder and harder to manage. Like that. Because unless people aren't trained, then how do you manage them? People are trained, it's easy to manage, and you get more done. So even India went down because the Brahmins, that's what Prabhupada said. Therefore, the entire society is in chaos because they, just by birthright, they're claiming. Yes.
My idea, and I think in some as well, Srila Prabhupada also, he's mentioning about the Dallas Gurukul.
Yes.
And,
so this means the school was in Dallas. So he wrote this before, because then Dallas shifted to Vrindavan.
What was the reason?
They just found it was more difficult to run there, and Vrindavan it would be easier to run. I think it was also, I'm not sure exactly, there's something there in the history, whether it was an economic consideration or what was there. But there was something. But when they were talking about Vrindavan, Prabhupada was thinking that there'd be Dallas and Vrindavan, you're expanding. He didn't understand that Dallas was going to move to Vrindavan. So when he did, he wasn't quite so happy about it. Because the idea is supposed to do more, not less.
They did have a group
left. Yeah, maybe later. But the original one, everybody moved to Vrindavan. Like that. You know, so that shifting was, I think, in... When was that? I think like 75 or something. 75, 76. They came to Mayapur first. They were here a short time because Vrindavan wasn't ready. They had already wrapped things up there, and I guess it was slower in Vrindavan, so they shifted to Mayapur for a short time. And then when Vrindavan was ready, I think 76, then they shifted there. You know, and then Prabhupada put in time and effort, you know, the training. He had Jashodanandan Swami, you know, sit there, and he was organizing and things like that. Yeah, so Prabhupada would put effort into it. 117.104. Please tell me who I was in my previous birth, the Lord says. Please tell me by your astrological computations. Hearing the words of the Lord, the astrologer immediately began to calculate. Because that's what he said. People would also be greatly inquisitive about their past, present, and future. So Lord Chaitanya is having some fun. Srila Prabhupada. Through astrology, one can know past, present, and future. Modern Western astrologers have no knowledge of the past or future. Nor can they perfectly say anything about the present. Like that. You know, they're so busy with, you know, the movements of Pluto and Neptune, Uranus, you know, things that take 200-300 years to go around, rather than what's affecting your life right now. But what to do? Herein we find, however, that after hearing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order, the astrologer immediately began his calculations. This was not a facade. Okay. Is French?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Just because of the because in French, this spelling is regular.
Yeah.
The E exactly means something, and everything means something. But when you bring it into English, it doesn't mean anything anymore. Problem. He actually knew how to ascertain one's past life through astrology. A still existing treatise called the Bhrigu Samhita describes a system by which anyone can immediately get information about what he was in the past and what he's going to be in the future. Right? Now, how would that work? This is the fun part. Is you think, oh, how would they figure that? This is where we get down to the chewing the chewed part. Right? Means you only have so many options. And those options, from one, you naturally go into the next, you go into the next. Like, let's say you take a bite of something, you know, like fried, dry, you know, spicy. After you take a few bites of that, what can you predict will be the next thing they do?
Hmm?
That?
Fatty.
Yogurt.
Fatty.
Okay. Means, will you not get thirsty? Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. It's so normal that you wouldn't. So that's the whole point, is you know that's going to happen. Someone ate, you know they're going to wash their hands. You know, it's all these different things. Is that you have, see, the general thing is you have.
Not necessarily in the West.
Culture.
We're talking about these guys here. We're talking about the humans here. Like that.
I live where I live. You know?
Yes, but you don't have these kind of astrologers.
Astronomers,
no. Right? Astrologers and that. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So. Okay, even at that, would they not wipe their fingers on the napkin or on the back of their jeans?
Back of the jeans.
On the front, really?
Ooh, that's Jersey again.
No, that's not Jersey. He's from Philly. Cream cheese?
Yeah.
Very sticky on the fingers?
Yes.
Like, the jeans just don't do it.
Okay, so you have to go.
Yeah. No, that's it. You don't eat like this, you know. Right, so you have to wipe it. Yeah. When you learn something.
Yeah, no, definitely. Comes a guru.
Yes. So, then you have that, you have ten, there's basically 10 main situations that can happen to someone. Mm-hmm. Right? Because if someone comes to an astrologer to ask a question, right? What's it going to be on?
Money,
marriage,
kids,
yeah. Career,
health.
Health. You know, a big one that we don't want to bring up. Relatives. Because this relative is giving trouble, so is it? You know, when's that going to work out? Mm-hmm. You know, he wants to, like the Pandavas, you know, and their relatives.
Yes.
You understand? So, is there anything else? So how many do we mention? It wasn't even 10.
No, it was
Education.
You understand? So there's 10 main categories that everybody's going to function within. So then your simplest, you can just take those 10. Most then will go into, break each of those 10 down to 10 subdivisions. So you get 100. Right? So you get the various options that can have within that. You get the money, you don't get the money, you almost get the money, you had the money, you lose the money, you lost the money, but you get it back, you know, all these different kinds of things. Okay? Then, Bhrigu, he divides that, each one of those into 10. So you get 1,000. Right? So it's the most finely divided of all the astrological treatises. Right? So then, through this, then you can figure this out. So then Bhrigu, it can tell you, because in the modes of nature, the combinations, how they work, if you're doing this, this is what's next. And if you're doing this now, this is what you did before. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah?
Voila, Bob's your uncle, I know the future and the past.
Yes. So it's pretty straightforward. But it's only, you know, means Bhrigu Muni, he's giving that. And so then from that, then the thing works. Does that make sense?
We just don't like to think we're that predictable.
No, that's the problem. Because we're so unique and
yes.
No one else has ever been like this before. And yeah, all that. Yeah. But, yeah.
But now, this is true only in a system where we are under the guna.
Yes. If you're not under the gunas, then you're not in this system. So therefore, for the pure devotees, then this, they can see the past, they can see what's there now, but they can't actually see the future. Right? Because they're going to step out and go back to Godhead. But if someone doesn't, you can tell by the karma and that where they would go. But the problem is devotional service being added to that, how that's going to affect that they can't see. Right? They can tell you'll be religious and all that, so they'll give an interpretation based on being religious. So they'll add that to it. But they can only see up to this side of the viraja. They can't see the other side. They can't say you've gone back to Godhead. They can say that you left the material world, but they can't say you went back to Godhead. But generally for devotees, you leave the material world means you're going back to Godhead. So devotee astrologers can basically, you know, adjust that to kind of make it work.
Yes.
Like that. So, yes?
That's why many people say this is exaggeration, because it doesn't work in the normal material realm. So somebody, like some of the benefits mentioned that on hearing Bhagavatam, sir, that you can go back to Godhead. Somebody didn't do anything, but apparently he went back to Godhead. Because for an ordinary materialist, even people working like astrologers, it's very difficult to ascertain that how the future can change so much without doing anything, activity in the field. Like, so somebody is going back to Godhead is always an exaggeration for an ordinary person.
Yeah, but then that's why they stay here. Yes.
Then years ago, my husband arranged trips for non-devotees to India, and they were very rich and they wanted to see astrology. And he arranged the meeting with an astrologer who belonged to a Greek line.
Mm.
And he told to every woman in that group that she was a princess in her previous life. And then we decided never to again.
Maybe
they were all princesses.
Yeah, it could have been. They were all princesses.
You can make a lot of money bringing all these ladies and everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Princesses. They were paid.
It just depends. There's only 30 Bhrigu people in India. And that was when I heard like that back in the 90s. So I don't know how many are there now. But people who actually have Bhrigu and can read it and use it and all that.
Maharaj, I've been not one Bhrigu person since when I was in the college days, just for having fun. And then all of my friends, they got something or the other, but he did not get my page at all. He said it's not there. So I was on
because,
the person, so I did
not yeah, no, because none of them have the whole thing. It's just somehow or another, whatever it is, each one of them only has part of it. And, you know, bless their little souls, they will not share. Because easily they could just, okay, what it is and put it together so it's more complete, or they have everything. But they won't do that, because then their uniqueness will be lost and all that, you know, as it mentioned before. Was it? Some people are now claiming to be Brahmins simply by birthright with no qualifications, therefore the entire society is in chaos. So, according to that principle, then they will not cooperate. Yes.
So one of the Ayurvedic
they'll come together, they'll have conferences, they'll talk, but they won't share.
One of the Ayurvedic doctors was in the line of like seven generation Ayurvedic doctors. He was telling me that for us, we die with this knowledge, you know, but we don't share it to anybody else apart from us.
Yeah.
So they die with their knowledge.
Yeah. So it's a standard thing. But it's a Kali Yuga thing. Point is, if somebody's qualified, then you share it with them. If someone's not qualified with them, you don't share it with them. But it's common.
Uh-huh.
Even the musicians do that before, at least especially in the Mughal lines, not as much in the South. Yeah.
Usually these doctors and astrologers, they say that we can pass on the knowledge only if you become a disciple. That is what is their criteria.
Yeah, but you have to be a student.
Yeah.
So why would it means if it's going to take you so many years, then how would you learn it unless you became a student?
Mm-hmm. That's why they don't share anything, because we have to be necessarily a student. Then only they share. That's the thing. They pass it down the knowledge.
Is that what you're talking about?
Otherwise, usually...
He kind of said that...
Basically, if you're not in their family...
If you're not in my family...
If you're not in the family, you don't get it.
You would get something. Basic thing.
Yeah. This is where? North or south?
South.
So, okay. Generally, you see it more in the north.
Deep south.
It spreads. South is Tamil
Nadu. Oh, I thought you'd say deep south is south. New Orleans or Alabama. Yeah, that's deep south. Yeah,
they
yeah, yeah.
What can they share? Those South people.
About 1 million recipes on how to prepare shrimp.
Bart
from that?
Cowboys?
I think that's about it. No, they're farther over. That's Texas.
I missed that part.
I just said shrimp. That's it.
Okay.
Beignets, I think that's another one. I think we covered it. Right?
No?
Okay. So the problem is that because of the mundane concept and that, and people not being qualified, neither as students or teachers, and then so all these things they get sidelined and they don't become important. But because Lord Chaitanya's, the golden age and all that, all these things will be revived. All the actual knowledge. So a lot of things may get lost, but those will be things that won't be so important. Like, probably all the Karmakanda stuff will be lost. And so whatever is useful in bhakti and everything, that will be there. But then it's just a matter of who's qualified, who can do those things. When that will come up, then, yes.
Maharaj also explained that bhakti being the essence and the central theme of all the Vedic knowledge,
right.
Unless that is understood, even one have all the books with them, they don't really understand the point of that knowledge itself. Because
no.
They just take one
no.
angle.
They just get the external points of it, and then they can't understand how it works. Like I was saying, this just here in Mayapur, one Ayurvedic doctor and his son was saying his father does all this esoteric stuff, but his father just does regular stuff,
mm-hmm.
like that.
So in one sense, they're not qualified, so even they have book, it's of no use.
Yeah, they can't use it. So because it's revealed knowledge still.
That's why they sell for some 500 rupees.
Yes, yes. Yes. A still existing treatise called the Bhrigu Samhita describes a system by which anyone can immediately get information about what he was in the past and what is going to be in the future. The brahmanas who went door to door as if beggars had perfect command of such vast knowledge. Thus, the highest knowledge was easily available even to the poorest man in society. The poorest man can inquire from an astrologer about his past, present, future, with no need for business agreements or exorbitant payments. The Brahmin would give him all the benefit of his knowledge without asking remuneration, and the poor man in return would offer a handful of rice or anything he had in his possession to satisfy the Brahmin. So that will be also the thing of why you'll see sometimes you hear about someone being, a big astrologer or this or that, and at one time they were very, very famous and very good, and then after some time they kind of like fade away. It's because of this thing is that they're charging these exorbitant prices. In other words, they have the thing, it'll cost you this much. And because of that, then you lose your ability. So you can't means being a teacher, being an astrologer, being a priest, any of these, then you can't do like that. It has to be is that according to the individuals, whatever is their position, then they give a donation. But at the same time, is they should be trying to do it nicely and trying to satisfy. Then their potency remains.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's the actual system. Yes.
We speak about knowledge.
Yes.
For example, kirtan leaders or whatever, if they do the same thing, not charging, it's not performance, but if they're invited somewhere and they should be sponsored.
Right.
But it's more like a donation, so you have to be more brahminical. But if
yes.
they're not, then they just can tell how much they want. Would they also be considered in this category?
But then you just have to see if it's kind of a business thing. Then it comes down to that they're coming and it's more like they're entertainers or something. But if it's a matter of that, it's like you want them to come, you have to make the arrangements because they don't have the arrangements. And then you're happy, you give them something and all that, and then that's fine.
Yeah.
Like that. But if they're generally as Brahmins would do like that, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, then they would just come and do, but they won't take anything for it. So it's not that they can't do, just they can't take charity. Like that. Yeah. You know, like you have the brahmacharis, they can go do things, you give the check, but it goes to the temple, so then it's not a problem. So you don't have to worry about it, because they're living a Brahminical lifestyle, but in any case, it goes to the temple anyway. There it's a matter of the difficulty comes up is that there is no other system for it because you're not demanding or anything, but you see these astrologers, they say no, they want this much money, and then when they see, you know, people who are rich or Westerners, then they change their prices like that. I remember one guy came to Oh, okay. But not that we brought up the money thing. No. I went to him. I remember the first time. I forgot what it was. He charged $100. You know, for a lesson. You know, it's a very proper lesson and everything like that. Then. So I think gone or something a couple of times or something, then he, I hadn't gone for many, many years, but I came back. So he knew I was one of his students and all that. Then that next time, he charged 1,000 rupees, you know, and pointed out that that's his standard, you know, if I remember correctly, that's his standard, you know, so I shouldn't think it's too much. So he forgot about the previous one and charged me the Indian rate. So then, you know, that kind of stuff, then that's where you'll have the problem. If it's just this a standard thing and people don't know, so yeah, this is what generally people give and it's kind of like that, then that works out. But here it's just they kind of say, this is what we're going to give you. Right? It's not that you walk in and say anything. You know what I'm saying? So it just depends on whether the independence is maintained or not. Does that make sense?
Yes.
In the
Vedic time, it was no
money. No money. Gold's not money.
Yes, yes, but it was.
Rice is not money. Cows aren't money.
Yes, but it was this type of money, but it's been.
No, but it's money that you can use.
Yes.
It's not fiat currency.
Huh?
It's not fiat currency.
Yeah.
The modern currency is just numbers on a screen or numbers on a piece of paper. It's not backed by anything.
It's not even flat money anymore.
Exactly. So it doesn't even represent anything.
Digital money.
Yes.
It's just whatever people are willing to. Yeah. So it means they were giving something of value.
Yes.
Like you said, a handful of rice or something like that, you can use that, you can eat it. Because if nothing else, the guy can eat that day.
Yes.
You know, they give cloth, you can wear that.
Yes.
You know, they give other stuff, you can eat it. They give gold, you can trade it for things or use it as ornaments. So in other words, right, by this you're saying about the gold, in other words, back in the Vedic age, the ladies were really happy because there was tons of gold. Right?
Yes.
And nowadays, you know, what do you do with the flat money? You know, what I'm saying? They got rid of the big notes at 500 euro. So, you know, the other ones aren't big enough to, you know, wear as a choker or something. You know?
I'm sure that would go down well.
500, come on.
Yeah, but with that system, it's more easy to understand the system of donation. Now with the notes, with the paper, money.
Yeah, but just what would be, it's a good donation. It's just what's something solid.
Yes.
You know, so like that. It's just, you know, it's just like what you feel is worth you in that, and then you give.
Yes.
And so that's the thing. For depending upon the individuals, something's they have more or less, then they'll consider more or less.
It depends on the receiver.
It depends on who you're giving to, and also about yourself of what you have, what you can afford, and things like that. So it's, you know, according to your position, but you have to see from your position what is their position.
Yes.
What is their position? What's the knowledge? What's that? What they've given? Like if they just do a simple thing, you give a smaller donut. If they do something bigger, that's more. You know, if they do, let's say, you know, an anaprasana, that'll be one donut. If they do a marriage, that's another. It's different. Does that make sense? Yeah.
One aspect of somebody losing the potential, what I observed is generally in order to be on the cutting edge, then you have to have more knowledge, more stuff, something more relevant to the current time. So in that anxiety, the person gets into anxiety that how to keep in touch with the current level, and is more worried about doing all this stuff, and he forgets the main sadhana, which keeps everything intact.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because of that, and it is a common principle for any of this.
Yeah, but that's all that, but especially these certain brahminical ones. That's the, you know, other things. If it has a certain fee, it doesn't matter. Also, for the temple, it doesn't matter. Like you see, Ramanujacharya, for all the different festivals and different services, he gave how much each one should be. How much they should give, and what they get is prasad. So it's still just the standard thing. Just they convert it into what the rupees would be worth.
What is Vinash? He gave to whom?
He gave, let's say you want to do a particular puja at the temple or sponsor something like that at the temple.
Here we have 1001.
Those kind of things. Oh. For the temple, it doesn't matter. Because, I mean, Krishna's not going to lose his potency. So. Seeing that you're only giving him Lakshmi, which is his anyway. So, like that, that's not the... So, very much, there's the aspect of the attitude. Like Rupu was talking about, they switch the attitude. Because the point is if you're good, you're good. You know? Yes, you may not be as popular, but those who appreciate good will come. You know, it's just like in Calcutta. There's, you know, so many shops, but the people who, you know stuff, you ask them what shop to go to, right? And they'll tell you this particular shop. And so it may not be your most known shop, but it'll be the best shop.
Old man sitting inside.
Yeah, an old man sitting inside. There's one place I was told about where they have the best, like, Bengali sweets. The shop doesn't even have a sign.
They don't need.
Yeah, they don't need. That's the point. It's the people who know go there. And so they'll sell out every day. There's no problem.
In Israel, they have one for hummus.
Oh.
Only hummus they make.
Yeah.
And there is a list on the front door with people in line every day. You cannot even get inside.
So you just put your name down.
Yeah. And that's how you get it.
So they deliver it or they just call you?
No, you have to wait outside in line, put your name, and then they call you in and they give you. And it's very small place.
Why
they don't grow.
Okay. So you have to come in sideways or something.
It's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. So like that. Those things. And so that the people know those places. So that's the thing, is if they're trying to become famous and this and that, then that's the problem. Because Brahman says it's not about fame. It's more about the quality. What's that? Yeah. Yes? No?
I read one letter of Prabhupada made an interesting comment that at his time, like nowadays in India, people go to the sadhu because going to doctor costs them more money. Sadhu gives blessings very cheap.
Oh, okay.
So that you can cure all your diseases at a much cheaper rate. You give donation 10 rupees, 100 rupees.
Much cheaper than the, yeah.
Nobody wants to go to sadhu to go back to Godhead.
Yeah.
Kind of the Brahmana that we just read about that wanted Mahaprabhu to deliver him. Yeah,
okay, yeah. But didn't ask about
the mundane result.
Yeah.
Because these people are following, even today, like, as a Brahmachari goes up, only these people are following, so go ask this.
Yeah. In a perfect human society, perfect knowledge in any science, medical, astrological, ecclesiastical, and so on, is available even to the poorest man, with no anxiety over payment. In the present day, however, no one can get justice, medical treatment, astrological help, or ecclesiastical enlightenment without money. And since people are generally poor, they are bereft of the benefits of all these great sciences. 117, 105, 109. Through calculation and meditation, the all-knowing astrologer saw the great effulgent body of the Lord, which is the resting place of all the unlimited Vaikuntha planets. Seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the same absolute truth, the Supreme Brahman, the personality of Godhead, the astrologer was confused. Struck with wonder, the astrologer remained silent, unable to speak. But when the Lord again put the question before him, he replied as follows, "My dear sir, in your previous birth, you were the shelter of all creation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of all opulences. You are now the same personality of Godhead that you were in your previous birth. Your identity is inconceivable eternal happiness." Srila Prabhupada, by the power of astrological science, one can even ascertain the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything is to be identified by its symptoms. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is identified by the symptoms mentioned in the Shastras. It is not that anyone and everyone can become God without proof from Shastras. When the astrologer was speaking so highly of him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped him and began to smile. "My dear sir," he said, "I think you do not know very clearly what I was, for I know that in my previous birth I was a cowherd boy. In my last birth I was born in the family of cowherd men, and I gave protection to the cows and calves. Because of such pious activities, I have now become the son of a brahmana." Srila Prabhupada, the words of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the greatest authority, herein clearly indicate that one becomes pious simply by keeping cows and protecting them. Unfortunately, people have become such rascals, they do not even care about the words of an authority. People generally consider cowherd men lowly members of society. But herein, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms that they are so pious that in their next lives they are going to be brahmanas. The caste system has a specific purpose. If this scientific system is followed, human society will get the greatest benefit. Heeding this instruction by the Lord, people should serve cows and calves and in return get ample quantities of milk. There is no loss in serving cows and calves, but modern human society has become so degraded that instead of giving protection to the cows and serving them, people are killing them. How can they expect peace and prosperity in human society while committing such sinful activities? It is impossible. Right, so that's the point. You perform the particular activity, you get the proper result. It's just how it works. So if that's understood, then people will understand and take care of these things. But you see, these things aren't prominent. So that's why in the Vedic consideration, human life is symptomatic by protection of the Brahmins, protection of the cows, protection of women, protection of the children, and protection of the elderly. So if that is done, then you have a proper human society. Well, you see, now all those are just, unless you can make profit off of it, they don't. So it's just for business. Like, you know, the old age homes and all that, they're getting more and more these days. But it's only for business. It's not actually, you know, to really take care. You might have individuals who are worried about it, but the establishment isn't so much. Yeah. So like that. Unless they can make money, they don't deal with it. It's not about the duty of taking care of cows. Like a few years back, I was reading about one dairy in I think upstate New York. They had been a family, you know, dairy. They had been functioning for 90 years as a dairy. But because of the whole fad of the vegans, so they won't buy milk. And so then the business, just the bottom fell out of it. So then the guy sold his cows and went into selling soybean products, you know, because that's something vegans will buy. So you can judge for yourself on whether they actually did any benefit to the cows. Sorry?
Or themselves either.
So that's the whole thing, is that it's not about a duty. It's just economics.
Care means engagement, not physical.
Yeah, care means engagement. Means akarma means where you're doing nothing.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you've done something. Like that. 117, 112, 113. The astrologer said, "What I saw in meditation was full of opulence, and therefore I was confused. I am certain that your form and the form I saw in my meditation are one and the same. If I see any difference, this is an act of your illusory energy." Srila Prabhupada. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the Radha Krishna, Nahe Anya. In the vision of a perfect devotee, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a combination of Radha and Krishna. One who sees Lord Chaitanya to be different from Krishna is under the illusory energy of the Lord. It appears that the astrologer was already an advanced devotee, and when he came into the presence of the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became perfectly realized and could see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are one and the same Supreme Person. 117, 114 through 117.
Huh.
Yes. The all-knowing astrologer concluded, "Whatever you may be or whoever you may be, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you." By this causeless mercy, the Lord then gave him love of Godhead, thus rewarding him for his service. Right? Now that's a dakshin. Yeah. One day the Lord sat down in the corridor of a Vishnu temple and began calling very loudly, "Bring some honey, bring some honey." Nityananda Prabhu Gosai, understanding the ecstatic mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, brought a pot of Ganges water as a token and put it before him. After drinking the water, Lord Chaitanya became so ecstatic he began to dance. Thus everyone saw the pastime of attracting the river Jamuna. Srila Prabhupada. Yamuna Karshana Lila is the pastime of attracting the Jamuna. One day, Sri Baladev wanted the Jamuna River to come before him, and when the river Jamuna refused, he took his plow, wanting to dig a canal so the Jamuna would be obliged to come there. Since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the original form of Baladev, in his ecstasy, he asked everyone to bring honey. In this way, all the devotees standing there saw that Yamuna Karshana Lila. In this lila, Baladev was accompanied by his girlfriends. After drinking a honey beverage called Varuni, he wanted to jump into the Jamuna and swim with the girls. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.65, 25-30, and 33, that Lord Baladev asked the Jamuna to come near, and when the river disobeyed the order of the Lord, he became angry and thus wanted to snatch her near to him with his plow. The Yamuna, however, very much afraid of Lord Balaram's anger, immediately came and surrendered unto him, praying to the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and admitting her fault. She was then excused. This is the sum and substance of the Yamuna Karshana Lila. The incident is also described in the prayer of Jayadev Goswami concerning the 10 incarnations. 117, 118 through 123. When the Lord, in his ecstasy of Baladev, was moving as if intoxicated by the beverage, Advaita Acharya, the chief of the Acharyas, Acharya Shekara, saw him in the form of Balaram. Vanamali Acharya saw a golden plow in the hand of Balaram, and the devotees all assembled together and danced, overwhelmed by ecstasy. In this way, they danced continuously for 12 hours. And in the evening, they all took bath on the Ganges and then returned to their homes. The Lord ordered all the citizens of Navadvip to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. In each and every home, they began performing Sankirtana regularly. All the devotees sang this popular song along with the Hare Krishna mantra, Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama Gopal Govindaram Sri Madhu Sudan. So that was top of the charts back then.
Yeah. Heavy rotation.
Yeah. When the Sankirtan movement thus started, no one in Navadvip could hear any sound other than the words Hari, Hari. and the beating of the mridanga and the clashing of handbells. Srila Prabhupada. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness now has its world center in Navadvip, Mayapur. The managers of this center should see that 24 hours a day, there's chanting of the holy names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, with the addition of Hare Nama Krishna, Yadavaya Nama, for this song was the favorite of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah. But all such Samkirtana must be preceded by the chanting of the holy names of the five tattvas. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Sri Vas Arigoda Paktavinda. We are already accustomed to chanting these two mantras. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Sri Vas Arigoda Paktavinda and Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Now, after these, the other two lines, namely Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama, Gopal Govindaram Srimad Husudan, should be added, especially in Mayapur. Chanting of these six lines should go on so perfectly well that no one there hears any vibration other than the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. That will make the center spiritually all perfect. I think Narottam Das Thakur, then he took those two lines and then expanded it and made that whole song. But otherwise, those are the original two lines. That's the original song. Just that much. So in kirtan, then you'd use just these two. I mean, unless you know the whole thing. But these two, then you can do. But in bhajans, then you can sit down, then you sing the whole song by Narottam Das Thakur. 117-124. Hearing the resounding vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra, the local Muslims, greatly angry, submitted a complaint to the Qazi. Srila Prabhupada, the Paujadhara, or city magistrate, was called the Qazi. The Zamindars, or landholders, Mandaleras. Almost sounds Mexican, right? Levied taxes on the land, but keeping law and order and punishing criminals was the duty entrusted to the Qazi. Both the Qazi and the landholders were under the control of the governor of Bengal, which at that time was known as Suba Bangla. The districts of Nadia, Islampur and Bhagoyana were all under the zamindar named Harihota, or his descendant known as Hoda Krishnadas. It is said that Chand Qazi was the spiritual master of Nawab Hussein Shah. According to one opinion, his name was Maulana Shirajuddina, and according to another, his name was Habibara Rahamana. Descendants of Chand Qazi are still living in the vicinity of Mayapur. People still go to see the tomb of Chand Qazi, which is underneath the Champa tree and is known as Chand Qazi's Samadhi. 117, 125-126. Chand Qazi angrily came to one home in the evening, and when he saw kirtan going on, he broke a mridanga and spoke as follows. For so long you did not follow the regular principles of the Hindu religion, and now you are following them with great enthusiasm. May I know by whose strength you are doing so? Right. So even then, they weren't really that seriously Hindus. And so now suddenly they are, and then it's like, why? Srila Prabhupada. It appears that from the aggression of Bhaktiyar Kiliji in Bengal until the time of Chand Qazi, Hindus, or the followers of the Vedic principles, were greatly suppressed. Like the Hindus in present-day Pakistan, practically no one could execute the Hindu religious principles freely. Chand Qazi referred to this condition of human society. Formerly, the Hindus had not been straightforward in executing the Hindu principles, but now they were freely chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Therefore, it must have been by the strength of someone else that they were so daring. Right. So we see as Lord Chaitanya, the movement's happening, in a government that does not really appreciate following the principles. So if you're in a country that's not like that, then you're doing really good. You know, so to say that, oh, we can't do like this, we can't chant, we can't, you know, do all these practices, things, what will people say? But there's no rule that you can't. So here we see there's a governance that doesn't really appreciate it, doesn't actually allow it. Right? And still within that, Lord Chaitanya wasn't you know, how you say, making any adjustments. So, does that make sense? So, because he is the Lord. But if you have a country that doesn't allow, then you have to work around it. But in countries that do allow, then why is there, you know, why would we complain? Yeah, well, social means our own social consideration. Yeah. We're worried about our own prestige.
Exactly.
More traditional. No, that you have that kind of aspect that they're there, but we're talking about here is that they made that, but they're not out on the street and doing kirtans and doing stuff like that. That you're not seeing. Actually, that was the fact. Although the members of the so-called Hindu society had followed the social customs and formulas, they had practically forgotten to execute their religious principles strictly. But with the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they actually began following the regulative principles according to his order. That order is still existing. And anywhere and everywhere in all parts of the world, one can execute it. Let's just go back again. There might have been a spelling mistake. That order is still existing, right? So that means it's an eternal thing. And anywhere and everywhere in all parts of the world, one can execute it. But with the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they actually began following the regulative principles according to his order. So it means the practicing of Krishna consciousness. So it means that can be practiced anywhere. Like that. So this idea in how you say, because then the countries that aren't free, they're not the ones saying that, oh, you can't do this. They're doing it. Yeah. And the ones that are free, then they're the ones, you know. Oh, okay. It's the land of the free, but not the home of the brave. Okay, I get it now. I get it now. Okay. Yeah. That order is to become a spiritual master under the direction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By following the regulative principles, chanting daily at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and preaching the cult of Krishna consciousness all over the world. If we adhere to the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we shall get spiritual strength without a doubt. And we shall be free to preach this cult of Hare Krishna movement and not be hampered by anyone. Right? So if you get the Lord's mercy, then it goes very nicely. And we see in places where they have very sincerely made that effort, then they've gotten very wonderful results.
Also, we observe here that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not concerned more about the political situation of the place.
Yes.
Like in the name of religion, what goes is how to keep the political control over the people.
Mm.
That has been from long, even till date. Mm. That's the theme of all the acharyas, is they never gave a consideration about what is the political influence currently at that place.
Yes.
Because seemingly it appears in a particular political condition that we are able to do more. But when the political condition changed, then you're also bound to change all the principles according to which suit that political...
Yeah, so that's the thing. They want things to suit, so that's it's a problem. Like some time back, there we were invited to do some program at one of these things. And then, you know, it starts off, you know, we have a plan, what we're going to do and everything like that, and then the organizers, you know, who are part of the, you know, party, then they want to adjust this, they want to adjust that, until it comes down to we can't actually do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And so then, you know, then the brothers just came back, so then why get involved? Mm-hmm. 117, 127. Chan Kazi continued, No one should perform Sankirtana on the streets of the city. Today I am excusing the offense and returning home. Srila Prabhupada, such orders stopping Sankirtana in the streets of the world's great cities have been imposed upon members of the Hare Krishna movement. We have hundreds of centers all over the world, and we have been specifically persecuted in Australia. In most cities of the Western world, we have been arrested many times by the police, but we are nevertheless executing the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting on the streets of all the important cities, such as New York, London, Chicago, Sydney, Melbourne, Paris, and Hamburg. We must remember that such incidents took place in the past, 500 years ago, and the fact that they are still going on indicates that our Sankirtan movement is really authorized. For if Sankirtan were an insignificant material affair, demons would not object to it. You know, it's just like we had, I think it was in China, you had the Falun Gong, and because it was so big, there were like 5 million members, then the government came down on it. But us, we're so small, they didn't bother with us. So you have that thing of just what has influence, what doesn't, like Prabhu was saying. It's just a political consideration. So the objection is that they see that it's going to have an influence, right? The demons of the time tried to obstruct the Sankirtan movement started by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Similar demons are, demons are trying to obstruct the Sankirtan movement we are executing all over the world. And this proves that our Sankirtan movement is still pure and genuine, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shankasa continued, 117-128. The next time I see someone performing such Sankirtana, I shall certainly chastise him by not only confiscating all his property, but also converting him into a Muslim. Srila Prabhupada, to convert a Hindu into a Muslim was an easy affair in those days. If a Muslim simply sprinkled water on the body of a Hindu, it was supposed that the Hindu had already become a Muslim. During the transition of the British in Bangladesh during the last Hindu-Muslim riots, many Hindus were converted into Muslims by having cow flesh forcibly pushed into their mouths. Hindu society was so rigid at the time of Lord Chaitanya that if a Hindu were converted into a Muslim, there was no chance of his being reformed. In this way, the Muslim population in India increased, right? Again, the fault of the Brahmins, right? Yeah. None of the Muslims came from outside. Social customs, some or another, forced Hindus to become Muslims, with no chance of returning to Hindu society. Right, so they didn't come from outside, except for, you know, Babar and a couple of people. No one came from outside. They just came and then converted people, because the Muslims, I mean, the Brahmins, then they had this thing by birth, all these things. But if that's the case, is they have no qualification, but born in a Brahmin family, they're Brahmins, then it should be you're born in a Hindu family, despite disqualifications, you're still a Hindu. But, you know, the problem is with when one's stuck on rules and regulations, one doesn't necessarily think properly. Yes?
Chhatrapati Shivaji Maharaj, he did an intelligent thing during his time. One of his generals was, like, converted into Muslim by Aurangzeb. And when he came back, he directly accepted him back. But he knows that the Brahmins cannot accept. So he performed a big yajna. And in that yajna called all the Brahmins, said, now you purify him to become a Hindu again. Elder, they did it. No questions after that. Everybody accepted.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, they see some haisei, some gentle persuasion, you know, always works very well. Yeah. So it's just that the common people, they didn't know. They go to the Brahmins, they tell them that, you know, oh, they sprinkled water on you, so you're a Muslim, what can you do? Instead of telling them, just go take bath with your clothes on, then they told them, no, now you're Muslims. And so, like that, then you have all the Muslims in India were just converted.
It's interesting in Bangladesh, if you enter like a bus dressed like this, the Muslims will get up and offer you a seat, because they're, by heart, they're still Hindus.
That was why Bangladesh was had to become separate, because they said that they were more Bengali and Hindu than they were Muslim. So that's why then that they separated. But when I came to, you know, when we were first doing the work on the huts and all that, some of the main laborers and all that, they were Muslims, but they all wore dhotis and that, because they're Bengalis. You know, it's just, you know, you're Bengalis, that's what you do. You know. The religion's another thing, you know. You know, just like in the West, you know, it's that you know, at the office, you know, a guy's in a suit, it doesn't matter what religion he is, he wears the same thing. So that's the Bengali outfit, so that's what they were wearing.
Also, except for Hyderabad and one or two places, the Muslims speak the local language. But Urdu is spoken in Hyderabad and some parts of UP and other places. Otherwise, they speak the local language.
Yes, yes.
That is one of the main.
Yeah, because they're just the local people that somehow or another it worked out that way.
They even chant their prayers differently than in the Middle East. More like a Bengali
or something.
Because in the Middle East it's not that melodious at all. It's not that melodious there when the real Muslims chant.
Okay. Yeah, because Bengalis, they like kirtan. So. In this way, the Muslim population in India increased. None of the Muslims came from outside. Social customs somehow or another forced Hindus to become Muslims, with no chance of returning to Hindu society. Emperor Aurangzeb also inaugurated a tax that Hindus had to pay because of their being Hindus. Thus all the poor Hindus of the lower class voluntarily became Muslims to avoid the tax. In this way, the Muslim population in India increased. Shankazi threatened to convert the people into Muslims by the simple process of sprinkling water on their bodies. Yes.
One Brahmachari was telling, nearby there is a place where the local leader, there was a rumor came that the magistrate Kazi is coming and he's seizing all the properties of non-Hindu leaders. So he converted to Muslim. And seeing him, all the locals also converted. And the Kazi never came, never converted, but he became a Muslim already. So.
Yeah.
Still that whole place in one of the Bengal, that is the most populated Muslim population.
Really? All because of that. Yeah. 117, 129, 130. After saying this, the Qazi returned home. And the devotees, greatly shocked that they were forbidden to chant Hare Krishna, submitted their grief to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya ordered, "Go perform Samkirtana. Today I shall kill all the Muslims." Right? Because they're stopping the Samkirtana. Srila Prabhupada. Gandhi is known for having started the movement of nonviolent civil disobedience in India. But about 500 years before him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started his movement of nonviolent civil disobedience to the order of Chankazi. It is not necessary to commit violence to stop the opposition from hindering a movement. For one can kill their demoniac behavior with reason and argument. Following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whenever there are obstacles, the Hare Krishna movement should kill the opposition with reason and argument and thus stop their demoniac behavior, right? Because it's mentality that has to be corrected, right? Because, as it said, in the Satya Yuga, then the demons and devotees lived in different planetary systems. In the Treta Yuga, they lived on different continents. In the Dwapara Yuga, they lived in different families. And in Kali Yuga, they live in the same body. So then it's a matter of removing the demoniac mentality. That's the... If we become violent in every case, it would be difficult for us to manage our affairs. We should therefore follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who disobeyed the order of Chankazi but subdued him with reason and argument. 117, 131.
It's impractical to be really violent. That's his argument.
Yeah, it would be difficult.
Yeah,
it's not that it's against the religious principles.
No, it's just that
it's not practical.
It's not practical. Yeah.
Only the Punjabi.
Yeah. One 131, 133. Returning home, all the citizens began performing Sankirtana. But because of the order of the Kazi, they were not carefree, but always full of anxiety. Understanding the anxiety within the people's minds, the Lord called them together and spoke to them as follows. Quote, "In the evening I shall perform Sankirtana in each and every town. Therefore you should all decorate the city in the evening." Srila Prabhupada. At that time, Navadvipa is composed of 9 small cities. So the words Nagare Nagare are significant. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to perform Sankirtana in each of these neighboring towns. He ordered the city decorations for the function, right? So they were, that means Navadvipa meant all of them. The center was Mayapur. So it would be known as Navadvipa. And all these others had other names like that, you know. But now somehow or another it's across the river and they call themselves Navadvipa. 117, 134, 135. Lord Chaitanya continued, "In the evening, burning torches in every home, I shall give protection to everyone. Let us see what kind of Kazi comes to stop our kirtan." In the evening, Lord Gaurasundar went out and formed 3 parties to perform Sankirtana. Srila Prabhupada. This is a scheme for performing kirtana in a procession. During Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, one party was composed of 21 men, 4 people playing mridangas, 1 leading the chanting, 16 others striking kartals, responding to the leading chanter. If many men join the Sankirtan movement, they may follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and form different parties according to the time and number of men available. Right, so you have a group and it's like that. And so like now we'll just have one in that, but he would just have so many parties. Like in Puri, then they'd have a whole bunch. I forget how many was there in Puri.
7.
Yeah, because otherwise you can't take care of everything. So there'd be so many in front of Jagannath, in front of Subhadra, in front of Baladev. Like that you'd have the parties. Yeah. 117, 136 to 140. In the front party danced Thakur Haridas, and in the middle party danced Advaitacharya with great jubilation. Lord Gaurasundar himself danced in the rear party. And Sri Nityananda Prabhu moved with Lord Chaitanya's dancing. So you would have in that party also someone as the main dancer, like that, because you're doing the kirtan, you focus on the singing and making that nice, and who are playing that. And then you have the lead dancers that they then encourage everyone to dance. By the grace of the Lord, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has elaborately described this incident in his Chaitanya Mangala, now Chaitanya Bhagavat. Performing kirtan in this way, circumambulating through every nook and corner of the city, they finally reached the door of the Kazi, right? So he went out and went through all the 9 cities like that, and then came to the Kazi's house. Murmuring in anger and making a roaring sound, the people, under the protection of Lord Chaitanya, became mad through such indulgence. Srila Prabhupada. The Kazi had issued an order not to perform kirtana, congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. But when this was brought up to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he ordered civil disobedience to the Kazi's order. Lord Chaitanya and all his devotees, naturally enthusiastic, although agitated, must have made a great noise with their loud cries. Yeah, and then the Bengalis. Right, so. 117, 141. Nothing more appreciated than a little civil disobedience. That's why you see is that it's a standard thing and you have to deal in a particular way according to the culture and that. And those who don't know, then they see this and they try to show their strength and all that. And that's never going to work around here. You know, it didn't work before. You see, Chankazi, he took that humble, you know, and he's the magistrate. Right, you know, so. The loud sound of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra certainly made the Kazi very much afraid, and he hid himself within his room. Hearing the people thus protesting, murmuring in great anger, the Kazi would not come out of his home. Srila Prabhupada. The Kazi's order not to perform Sankirtana could stand only as long as there was no civil disobedience. Under the leadership of the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the chanters, increasing in number, disobeyed the order of the Kazi. Thousands assembled together in foreign parties, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and making a tumultuous sound of protest. Thus the Qazi was very much afraid, as naturally one should be under such circumstances. Yeah, naturally as one should be, right? You know? In the present day also, people all over the world may join together in the Krishna consciousness movement and protest against the present degraded governments of the world's godless societies, which are based on all kinds of sinful activities. Srimad Bhagavatam states that in the age of Kali, thieves, rogues, and fourth-class people who have neither education nor culture capture the seats of governments to exploit the citizens. This is a symptom of Kali Yuga that has already appeared. People cannot feel secure about their lives and property, yet the so-called governments continue and the government ministers get fat salaries, although they are unable to do anything good for society. The only remedy for such condition is to enhance the Sampradayan movement under the banner of Krishna consciousness and protest against the sinful activities of all the world's governments. The Krishna conscious movement is not a sentimental religious movement. It is a movement for the reformation of all the anomalies of human society. Right? Because human society is meant for elevating yourself in God consciousness. So if they're not doing that, then that's an anomaly. So that's what's being reformed. It's not about political reform or social reform. It's about reforming the consciousness. That's what you're trying to do. So it may take the form of these other aspects, but that's not actually what it's about. Right? You're dealing then with government, then you deal on the civil disobedience. Like you see, I don't know in other places, but I mean in France you have all those people, they're all standing out there somewhere with their something on, right? Yellow vest, so that's there. You know, Hong Kong, huh? Second year. They're still there. Wow. Hong Kong, they're doing. Yes. You know, America now and again you hear of, you know, 100,000 people, 500,000, 1 million people marching on Washington, but it all has to be without violence. Like that. And so then they take note. When that many people show up, then they decide, okay, then maybe we should listen. Like that. You know. So, yeah. So it's a standard thing. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktavinda ki, Jai Nityai Gaura Premanandi.